Loyalty to God is living according to God's plan. But how? Here's Pastor Dave Rolf.
Because God's in the miracle business. He looks at some old codger who's ready to hang it up, and he says, I can do more through you than you could ever imagine. My plans for you are better than you could ever dream. But if that's going to happen in your life, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to rely on me. What does that mean? First of all, it means you better sit down and shut up long enough to listen, to hear what he's really telling you to do. And then when you listen and you start to hear something from God, don't talk yourself out of it.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
You've no doubt heard it before that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And if it's God's plan, then it must be better than ours. To discover his plan and live it out will require that we trust and obey him. But it's our tendency to rely on self rather than our Savior. Strange, isn't it? But it's true. Why do we play it safe? Why don't we let go and trust the Lord completely? Why do we have divided loyalties? Self-reliance is the cause, and relying on the Lord is a cure. To explore this further, let's join Pastor Dave Rolf now on The Balanced Word.
Sometimes we force our way. Sometimes we manipulate and just connive our way into salvaging something and making it work. And yet God looks at us and just shakes his head and says, I had such a better plan for you than this. So much more that I wanted to do through you, and you limited me. It's like where Jesus stood over Jerusalem as he surveyed that great city, and he began to cry. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets, how I longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. You wouldn't. He proceeded down the Mount of Olives and gave his life for Jerusalem. He will one day fulfill all that he's intended for them, but the agony of his heart as he looked at people who would not rely on him, people who would not trust him, and now what they were going to have to go through for thousands of years of misery and pain and torture because they didn't see the vision that he had for them. They wouldn't hear him as he offered himself as their Messiah. And I'm convinced that for each of us, there are areas of our lives where, you know, it's worked out all right, but not what he wanted it to be. Not as outrageously successful as what he wanted to do. And you and I can think of plenty of people that we know. You look at their lives and go, this person had so much potential. If they only understood what they could have accomplished. If God had got a hold of their lives, and yet they were just satisfied to do what they were doing. One of the smartest guys I ever knew was a kid I went to high school with, and good guy, a lot going for him, funny, kind of a nerd, but really smart. Smartest person I think I've ever known. Scored perfect scores on his SATs. But there in high school, he decided that, well, he knew someone who could hook him up with a job being a Border Patrol agent. There's nothing wrong with being a Border Patrol agent, but for this guy, it was definitely underemployment. He had every college offering him, you know, full rides to go do whatever it is that he wanted to do, but he kind of got into guns, and this guy's like, hey, it's cool. If you become a Border Patrol agent, you can get a concealed weapons permit, carry a gun anywhere. And somehow, he, in his 18-year-old mind, got the idea that a great way to spend the rest of my life would be sitting in a toll booth with a gun strapped to my waist. And he did it for years. I don't know. I've lost track of him. I don't know where it all ended. But I often sat and thought, you know, that guy might have found the cure for AIDS or something. But instead, there he is guarding the border. I'm glad there are people guarding the border. But this guy could have done more. I know things that would have been more fulfilling, better contribution to society in every way. But his thinking was like this. He had blinders on, and all he knew was what he wanted to do. You know, I remember when I was in high school, I decided that what I wanted to do was just to be a mechanic. Now, nothing wrong with being a mechanic, and I enjoyed working on cars, and I thought that was what I was going to do. I was a really good student And there were things that I was very effective at, but I liked working on cars. And you know, if you like doing something, fine, do it. But that's what I set out to accomplish, to do. And you know, but after a time, I was waiting for the scholarship from General Motors, and it didn't come through. And seriously, to go to their thing, and they tested all of our auto shop students, and whoever had the best score was going to get this scholarship. Well, every one of my class cheated off me, and I just gave them each like one wrong answer, so I knew that I'd ace the thing. And I was crushed when I didn't get the scholarship. And then shortly, a few months later, I accepted the Lord, began to make other plans for my life, and ultimately within the next couple of years, God called me to go into the ministry. I'm not saying being a minister is better than being a mechanic. Believe me, it has its days when I wish I was a mechanic. But God had a plan for my life, and my plans could have easily blocked the way. I ultimately ran into the vice principal from my school, and I said, I'm just curious, how come I didn't get that General Motors scholarship? And he said, I went to those guys from General Motors, and I told them if they gave that scholarship to you, that I was going to, I'll clean it up, physically accost them, and they would never set foot on our campus again. He said, I knew that you could do more than that. I knew that wasn't where your life was supposed to end. I didn't know it, but he did. And God is that way with all of us. He sees what it is, who we are, and what we would be best at, and how he can most effectively use us. And the funny thing is, he usually wants to do something in you that you're not qualified to do. He usually wants to do something that you have no business doing. Oh, there are a lot of things that I probably in the flesh could be qualified to do. But to be a pastor, that's something that still to this day, I just think, there's no way. It's not, how could this happen? But see, God wanted to do it so that he could promote me to something that I wasn't qualified for and caused me to have to rely on him and trust in him. And I am so thankful that I didn't do anything else with my life. I'm so grateful that I'm doing exactly what I'm doing. Not because I think I'm so good at it. I really don't in some ways. And don't come up and tell me otherwise. I'm just not going to believe you anyway. But I honestly, there are days when I just think, why am I doing this? What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. And yet, God has so powerfully blessed me that I look and just go, you know, I'm glad maybe I just slithered through somehow over the last 30 years of ministry. I'm so glad. God did it. It was his hand on my life. I'm thankful for the opportunity to do something that no one would have predicted. See, at the time that I was trying to be a mechanic, I didn't even know Jesus. But God did a work in my life, and he ended up allowing me to pull this thing off. And some of you people just don't have better sense than, you know, to not go somewhere else. And so I get to get up and talk to people about God's word. And they listen sometimes. See, God looks at every life. And he looks at you and he says, if I told you what I really want to do through you, you'd never believe it. Because you're all the same. You can't think as big as God thinks. And so the sad thing when you don't listen to God, oh, it's not like it just hurts his feelings that you don't rely on him. It's that you're going to miss his plan. You're going to miss the opportunity for what God really wants to do. Look at your future right now. Think of what it is that you believe, your vision, your mission statement, your plans, whatever it is that you're planning on doing with your life. Think about that for a second, and I want to tell you something. God wants to do more. God wants to do more than you could ever ask or think. He has incredible plans for you. Now, you might say, well, thanks. I would have liked that pep talk when I was 18, but it's a little late, Dave. Pretty much, I'm okay. Now I'm just trying to survive till I die. So protect my retirement. No. See, because God's in the miracle business. He looks at some old codger who's ready to hang it up, and he says, I can do more through you than you could ever imagine. My plans for you are better than you could ever dream. But if that's going to happen in your life, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to rely on me. What does that mean? First of all, it means you better sit down and shut up long enough to listen, to hear what he's really telling you to do. And then when you listen and you start to hear something from God, don't talk yourself out of it. Don't convince yourself that, yeah, that'd be great if I was younger, or yeah, that'd be great if I could do this or was good at that. But it's listening to God and saying, I'm going to suspend all of my rational judgment here, and I want to commit myself that whatever it is that God tells me to do, that's what I want to do. That's what I want my life to be. I don't want to live out my dreams. I want to live out His dreams. And that's loyalty. Praying the prayer of chapter 14 of saying, God, nothing's too hard for You. You can do it all. So Lord, I want Your vision. I want Your calling. I want Your promise. I want Your dreams. I want the goals that You have for my life. And then I'll do whatever I can do. If it doesn't work, you get these dreams and it fails, so you didn't hear. Big deal. It's better to believe God and to move forward and get whipped by the Syrians and the Israelis than it is to live a life that settles for something less than what God has for you. Because the option, the choice ultimately is God saying, do you trust Me? Are you going to depend on Me or rely on Me? Are you going to look for everything else you can depend on? Are you going to trust your money? Are you going to trust your profession? Are you going to trust your friends or your parents? Are you going to trust your good luck? Are you going to trust your skill and all of the elements that you've developed in your life? For every one of us, I know certain people that God has used in a way that I just think that's amazing. How could God ever use someone like that? And every once in a while, you discover someone who's made it to the top of their profession, and you just go, how in the world did that happen? If you ever meet a politician, a successful politician, I have several times, you talk to him for a while, and you just go, how did this person ever get elected? How could they do this? Well, that's what God wants people to think when He sees us. What in the world? That person? Doing this? Oh, it's scary because every day you have this fear that all of a sudden people are going to wake up and realize who you really are and it's all over. But are you willing to take the chance of trusting God instead of taking the chance of not trusting Him and settling for something less than He wants to do in your life? And that was God's message to Asa. Sadly, Asa didn't get the message. If you read on in verse 10 there, Asa got angry with the prophet. He stuck him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this, and Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Asa just goes, you know, I don't want to hear this. That's stupid. That's a bunch of baloney. Shut himself off to it. Punished the messenger who brought the message. I'd love to tell you that the end of the story got a lot better. That Asa kind of wised up, that he thought, wow, maybe God isn't finished with me yet. Maybe He wants to continue to work. But that's not what happened, because as you read on in the story, he became diseased in his feet in verse 12. In his feet? What's the, athlete's foot? Maybe diabetes or something like that. But his feet got diseased and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. And so he rested with his fathers. He died. Ultimately, his stubbornness and unwillingness to listen to God killed him. Oh, it snuck up on him. Well, I got a problem with my feet. If I had a problem with my heart, okay, I'd pray to God. This is my feet, for crying out loud. I'm a king. I have people waiting on me hand and foot. I can just sit there. I don't have to walk anywhere. I don't have to do anything. So worst case, if I lose my foot, they'll wait on me hand and stump. It'll be okay. I can get by. I don't need You. This isn't that big of a deal. And he ended up because he blinded himself to what God wanted him to understand. It's not he was bad that he went to the physicians, but it was bad that he thought the physicians could handle it without God. He didn't go to God first. And as a result, it killed him. For each of us in our lives, there are things that are nagging away at us that are blocking what God wants to do. Maybe a sin that we haven't confessed, or we've just kind of given up on, or we've accepted, or we've excused. Maybe a relationship or a calling that God has on our lives that we've neglected. Maybe it's our pride and that we're always puffing ourselves up, or we see the whole world is revolving around us, but we've got this little disease in our feet, and it's not enough to keep us from functioning. But it's eaten away at us. It's destroying us. God's speaking, God's calling, we aren't listening. Instead, we're just dealing with it. I can take care of this, I can handle it. You don't need to pray for me on this. And it's eating away, it's destroying us. If we don't listen to him, it'll kill us. See, because whereas God has a plan for your life and an agenda that's unbelievable, that's greater than anything you could even imagine, all of your wildest dreams of winning the lottery or becoming a rock star or whatever are nothing compared to what God wants to do for you. But there's also a devil who has an agenda for you, and he wants to rip you off, and he wants to destroy you. And he's happy to start with a hangnail and just work his way up until you're dead. As long as he can keep you from being alarmed enough to cry out to God, then he's got you. And he'll destroy you. He's good at that. We really do it to ourselves. So for us, we have a choice with our future. I don't know how much time any of us has. But the truth is we're still alive and God still has a plan. And we have to choose. Am I going to rely on God, listen to him, and be willing to do any crazy thing he tells me to do? Or shall I just say, I've got other ways of fixing this. I've got other means, coping mechanisms. And as we compromise in our walk with him, we'll find sooner or later, oh man, you missed out. Now, God causes, Romans 8:28, he causes all things to work together for good. And it's true. And you look back on your life and you've ignored God so many times and he still blessed you, and that's good. But God has something better for you than good. He doesn't want to just work things together for good. He wants to overwhelm you, to amaze you, to surprise you and others by what he does in your life. He has higher standards for you than you could ever imagine. And if you limit yourself by your own ability to conceive and calculate and manipulate to get what you think you want, then you're going to miss what God actually wants to do in your life. And that's sad. He'll still love you. He'll still take you to heaven. Heaven will still blow you away if you're his child. But still, you'll be looking back, and he looks on, and he doesn't say, trust me because it hurts my feelings when you don't trust me. When you don't listen to me, it just really is offensive to me. No, God looks at us and he shakes his head and he goes, it hurts me when you don't listen to me because of all that I want to do for you that I can't do because you think your way out of it, because you plan your way around what my plan is. You offer to settle for much less than what I have for you. Don't let the enemy rip you off. Don't just settle. Believe that God is going to do magnificent things in your life. Expect that to happen. Expect every day to be surprised by how good God is to you. And if you will listen to him and do those simple things that he tells you to do and trust in him instead of trusting in all these other options, then you're going to see God work. Because his eyes are going to and fro right now, looking for someone who will do just that. He's looking through this room at you guys across this row and the next row. And look, he's looking back at you over there, and you people over there, and the people over here. His eyes are looking around going, is there somebody that I can show my strength on behalf of? Is there someone who will be loyal to me, who will trust me and just do what I tell them to do? Who won't think themselves out of it because, oh, no, that would be too ridiculous. That's too impossible. Nothing is impossible for him. In fact, nothing is even difficult for him. It's all easy. The only thing that he can't do is he has such a hard time finding people who will go along with what he wants to do. He sees everything, he knows everything, but he's still looking to try and find somebody who will play along. Be that person who plays along. Be that person who, instead of creating your own vision and your own ideas, takes on his vision and his ideas. And God will use you and bless you, and he'll cause you to be a miracle that other people will see. I can't believe what God's done in this person's life. I never would have thought it. Didn't think it was possible. Just because you listened, trusted, obeyed, and were loyal to what God speaks to your heart. It's dangerous. But it's not as dangerous as allowing the sickness to destroy your life and just huddling up like Howard Hughes when he died. He was so paranoid of getting sick that he stayed in one room all the time. He wouldn't wear shoes because he thought they were unhealthy. He stuck Kleenex boxes on his feet. He thought that he'd get injured if he shaved himself, so he let his beard go. Couldn't clip his nails. They grew out and curled around, and he was this grotesque person who ultimately at his death, though he was the richest man in the world, his body was full of all kinds of diseases. And he died just a tragic death. That's Howard Hughes, a guy that could certainly pay off Syria and anybody else he needed to pay off. But he died in disgrace and tragedy. God looks at you and me because we have the Holy Spirit inside us, because we've given our lives to the Lord. We're much more wealthy than Howard Hughes was. We have much more potential than he has. We can play it safe. And playing it safe is never safe. It's always the biggest risk, playing it safe. Or we can just let it all hang out and go, God, whatever you want, I'm up for it. Go ahead and surprise me. Because if he surprises you with what he wants to do, you're going to be doubly surprised by how it works. Because it doesn't make sense and there's no way to explain it except it's God. Be a person who trusts and relies on God, not on anything else. And he will do things in your life that are beyond explanation, description. They defy the odds. And at the end, there'll be nothing to do but to look back and say, God is so great. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Every day, new mercies I see.
An exciting potential to be realized. May you be encouraged, as Pastor Dave Rolfe put it, not to play it safe, but to instead rely on the Lord. This is The Balanced Word. What you heard today is one part of a study in 2 Chronicles. Hear it again at thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475. Or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list, so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Now let's finish our time together in prayer. Here's Pastor Dave to lead us.
Lord, most of us have spent much of our lives dreaming up our own schemes. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. When they worked, it was empty. When they didn't, it was frustrating. Lord, what we want is your dream for our lives. We want to trust in you and you alone. So God, help us to quit all of our striving and just really listen to you. Deliver us from turning to temporary solutions that rob us of your ultimate plans for our lives. Help us to stop thinking so much, to spend more time listening and obeying. Lord, as your eyes go to and fro in this room right now, you're looking for those hearts that will say, God, I want your dreams. I want your leading. I want your strength, not mine. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Let them know that you know what you're doing and work in a powerful way. Help us to stay out of your way. Help us to know that the victory is yours. And help us to see all of the artificial solutions as just that. Stopgap measures that will only work temporarily and that will ultimately disappoint and frustrate us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, be encouraged to finish strong when Pastor Dave Rolfe returns to 2 Chronicles. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And